I have been with you guys a number of years, and when I accept, I couldn't think of a name to come up with as on Pal Talk, and I thought, well, gee, I work with seed all the time. I sell seed, and I thought, well, why don't I just call Seed Guy? And then I got to say Seed Guy Roger, and I'm here to tell you that 32 years and a half I sold seed for a living. Okay? And 20 years of that I sold crop insurance to the farmers. I'd sell them the seed, and then I don't know what I'm telling this for. This is right on the paper. But anyway, for 22 years I sold crop insurance. I'd sell them the seed, and then I'd sell them the federal crop insurance that would guarantee the yield on it. So I had them coming and going. But hey, I want to tell you, I'm 73 years old. This is what 73 looks like. And 55 years ago, I graduated from high school in Logansport, Indiana. And I've had an interesting time of going through life. And I graduated from high school and I went to trade school in Chicago. I was a tool and die maker. That's what I went to school for. And then when I got out of there, I worked at a job shop in Logansport. Then I went to work at Chrysler Corporation as a tool and die maker. I worked there 10 years and 4 days, okay? And I remember the night that I pushed my toolbox out. Wow. But anyway, I had ended up, took a sales job. And I want to tell you something. Sales is not for everybody.
That's right.
But I want you to know, it's the best job I ever had in my entire life. I love to sell. And I sold crop insurance and sold seed and had a lot of fun with it. And tonight, I'm going to educate you a little bit about these things right here. The thing that I want to do with you most of all, so what this whole talk is about, is God's presence in the plant. How he gives the corn plants the extreme ability to survive to next year. Because I want you to know that there is a company out here called Monsanto, and I don't care if you do work for them or you don't. Monsanto has the rights to a lot of times if you have garden seed, you can keep the seed over and plant it next year. Well, they can make them plants, those seed go sterile in 1 year. Well, they haven't got completely to that point. But anyway, I went out the other day, Mike and I went out to Sheila and Al Zinkel's house. Al, he skipped out on us, but Sheila, it had rained. Now I tell you, it had rained a lot, and it was. I told Mike, I said, I've dug a lot of corn plants, I've done a lot of things, but I didn't wade out in the field with a shovel to dig plants and get mud. I mean, I was always smart enough not to do that. But what I want to do with you this evening is I want to show you the corn plant and how it's designed. But before we do that, I got some questions for you. Like I say, I answered an ad in the paper what started this whole thing. It was working in Northwest Indiana, which I knew I'd been around a lot. And, I had no idea about this, but I was raised on a farm. I mean, my mom and dad, my dad worked in a factory, and I lived out on the farm. I knew what the difference between corn and soybeans. I could identify that. But one thing I did not know was that there's thousands of corn hybrids, thousands of soybean varieties. And now alfalfa, there's hundreds of varieties there. And all this stuff that you work with out there, it's sort of like my whole career came together in seed selling, It's when I would sell people seed, I could just go down the road and sell people the hottest hybrid that was doing well in a lot of places. But then I would have people tell me, Roger, that didn't do so well for me. I don't really need any more of your seed. And I go, oh man, what this I can't make a living doing because I work straight commission. That means if I didn't sell, I didn't make. And so I learned to place hybrids in the right fields. There's muck soils, clay loams, sandy loams. There's all kinds of soil types. But it's just like employees. You'll have people that are good cooks. And you'll have guys that are good running a filling station. They're good engineers. They're good doctors. But you have to get the right people. You take a cook and a car mechanic and you switch their job for 2 weeks, you're going to have some unhappy campers. But anyway, when you learn to get the right hybrids in the right place, the varieties perform. Because there's varieties that will work well in sandy loams, and then there's or sand or muck, and then you just got to find out if the guy, let's put it to you this way. If he was planting, you need to know how early he goes to the field. If he's one of these guys that doesn't get out until late in the season. But you got to get the right variety with the right guy. I had so many guys always say, Roger, you're always asking me so many questions. Why do you do that? Well, I said, I just got to know because the different varieties do different things. And anyway, I want to start this thing out, but I call this the secret life of the soybean and corn plant. I'm going to talk about soybeans briefly. But I want to ask you a question. Okay, I got your attention, I hope. When you see farmers driving, I don't know, a lot of you live in big towns or town. When you see farmers driving down through the field with their 6, 12 row, or 24, 36, or 48 row planters, they're going between 4 to 8 mile an hour going down the field. Okay? Now, for those of you I have told this to, so please let me play along with the rest of them that don't know. When you're dropping that, and just to give you an idea how deep to plant, I know you all want to know this, but do you know how deep to plant a corn plant and a soybean? It's 1.5 inches or 1.5 knuckles. Pretty much the same. That's how deep it goes. But if you're driving down through the field 4 to 8 miles an hour, and you got 48 row planter there, and you're just buzzing down and you buzz back, I have a question for you is, when you drop that seed in the ground and you bury it, I mean, you're talking buried, no light, how does that plant know where up is? How does it know the root? How come the root don't go up and the plant go down? Or why does it go sideways? Any ideas?
Sunlight.
What's that?
Sunlight.
Sunlight? That's not the answer, but I appreciate you playing along with me. Anybody got an idea?
Gravity.
Gravity is the answer. God created the corn plant that when it germinates and opens up, the root is sensitive to gravity. It is sensitive to gravity, and then the stalk will go the opposite direction. It'll go up. But God gave it the ability, because I'm going to tell you what. I've had a lot of fun going into greenhouses, going into places where there's they're selling plants. And I'll ask the gal, how did you plant this thing? Oh, she said, we take it there in the back room and we cover it up with dirt. And I said, well, I didn't know where up was. I mean, there's round kernels, flat kernels, all kinds. I said, how'd you know that? Well, she said, I don't know. She said, but it always does it right. Anyway, God gave it the ability to do it right. Okay? So the root goes down. Now, that's with other plants. And not just corn, soybeans. I'm talking all plants. The root will go down because it's sensitive to gravity. Can you imagine that little teeny root? It's just a light green color. How it would just—it's really sensitive. But God gave us that ability. We're going to talk all the way through the plant about the plants, okay? And now, when it's sensitive to gravity, so that you'll know this $10 word, this is what it's called, geotropism. I know you all wanted to know that, so I went and drew up one of these sheets for you. But geotropism is what that's called, it's sensitive to gravity. The plant will go, the root will go down and everything will go up. And another thing I want you to know is that I'm going to talk briefly about the soybean plant. Also, and you know that there's one event here on Earth that happens about June 20th, June 21st. It happens across the entire planet. It's called summer solstice. And then in December, some point, we have another called the winter solstice. Do you know what this, on the soybean plant, do you know what the summer solstice does to the soybean plant? Anybody? Pete, you had the first answer. You got this one for me. Okay. Summer solstice is when the day's what? The day length what? Gets shorter. Okay? So on the when the day length starts getting shorter, the plant, that's a signal to a soybean plant, we better get on the ball here. We're going to have our family. So that's it. And it, I'll tell you what you do. That's June the 20th. I'm talking the 4th of July. We're talking a week and a half, 2 weeks later. I want you to slip out in the field and peek underneath the leaves. And there'll be little flowers underneath there. They'll either be white, blue, light blue, but it has done its thing. It's mated, and it's putting on where that little flower is going to be a pod. And that's whether it'll be one bean, two, three, four pods, depending on the variety. But that's what summer salt is. Now, but that's when the day length starts getting short, okay? And also winter solstice. Now that you know what that happens when winter solstice happens. That's when when the North Pole is tilted the furthest. It's 23.5 degrees from the sun, so it's the furthest point. So last year I this same talk just before Christmas when it was down in Florida and. We got this men's group that a bunch of people asked me, well, why don't you just go with us and go? And then I went 1 or 2 weeks and they said, okay, now if you're going to be coming, you're going to have to give a talk about your business, what you do for a living and how you do it. So I thought, oh man, I'm here, I'm dealing with retired military people, retired people had good jobs in their lifetime. And I thought, boy, and I went, I left. I said, okay, I said, I suppose I'll talk about the corn plant. So I went north of town, and we were staying in Vero Beach at that time, and went north of town, and there was a Syngenta plant there. Syngenta is a plant that they raise seed corn and do different things too. But anyway, I went to the door and knocked on the door, and the girl comes. She, you know, this day and age, you can't answer the door because you don't know if somebody's got a gun or what they're going to do. And she says, what do you need? I says, I know you ain't going to believe this, but I need 4 or 5 corn stalks. You need what? I need 4 or 5 corn stalks. If you got them, I'd really like to have them because I got a talk I got to give. I've worked in the ag industry a little bit in 32 years. And anyway, she said, okay, well, come on in. Went in, and she said, I'll go back and see the guys to see what's going on. Well, 2 weeks before I got there, they mowed them all down. They mowed all the stocks down. I thought, oh, that ain't going to work at all. Anyway, then she said, well, I'll tell you what. There's a corn maze 2 miles up the road and 1 mile over. So I go to this, it was a fruit place. And they had a corn maze, and I drove up, and there it was. It was still there. And when you go to Florida, they got critters there that I'm not used to in Indiana. Out in the field. And I ended up, I went to the desk, and the lady said, "Yeah, what can I help you with?" And I said, "Well, I know this is going to be different, but I need 3 or 4 corn plants." "What for?" I said, "Well, I got this talk I'm supposed to give." And I said, "I want to demonstrate a corn plant to people." He said, "Okay." She said, "The shovel is over there." I said, "That's okay." So I get a hold of the shovel, and out to the field I go. Walking all the time, swinging the shovel because there's snakes and everything else out there. I'm not used to that in Indiana. Anyway, I got my plants and came back, and that's how I did it. But anyway, just to give you an idea of what the Corn Belt is, this is a small picture. You'll have to just listen to me. We're looking at Missouri, Kansas, Nebraska, South Dakota, Minnesota, Iowa, Illinois, Ohio, and Indiana. That's what they call the Corn Belt. And that's where all the... Iowa is the king of the pond when it comes to corn being raised. So I'll tell you that. Now, I want to talk to you about... Let's say we got a kernel of corn and we're going to plant it in the spring. We're going to start out with planting the corn. We're going to start with that, and we're going to start with the root system. We're going to go right up the stalk, and we're going to talk about it. First thing I want to ask you, though, is why do farmers... Have you ever seen them... farmers will tile their ground. Tile their grounds, a lot of times it's anywhere from 1 foot to 3 foot deep. They'll put tile, and it drains the water out of the field. Why would they want to drain the water that feeds the plant? Well, that... One, that's the soil work. When you get that water out of it, it helps the soil to warm up, and then it can get to put seed in the ground, and it'll germinate. So I want to give you a clue on when to plant corn, and that is in the spring of the year. All of you that have yard, now out in Arizona, I don't know, not all of you have grass in your yards, probably. We do. But anyway, how many, you know, you ever see in the spring of the year, you'll have some grass this tall, some grass that ain't doing nothing much, and you'll go out one time and you'll mow the grass to level it all up. One time. And about 1.5 to 2 weeks later, it's growing up evenly across. Well, what's happened? Grass and corn are the same family. Okay? And so we're talking here about 50 degrees, the soil temperature. You want to plant corn in about 50 degrees. So when, like I told the guys, just a good rule of thumb, one time that did not work because we had some frost, late frost. But anyway, 50 degrees is the temperature that corn will germinate and get started, okay? And that's usually at the latter part of up here in Minnesota. I'm saying that you're probably looking at middle of April, I'm guessing. Al, is that close?
Yeah.
Middle of April, anyway. In Indiana, it's usually the last. If they can get in the fields, they're going the end of March. But you want to definitely get it in, get it going by the latter part of April. So that's when, and one of the tricks that the farmers play on each other at the coffee shop, it's like, who can get out in the field first? So what they, I mean, it's the talk. Oh, you about ready to go? You've got your field all open, everything ready to go, the planter ready to go. And there'll be guys just to stir the neighborhood. They'll get their tractor and hook it onto the planter and drive around the section. And meanwhile, at the coffee shop, everybody's talking, "Oh, I saw Sam, he's out with his planter." Yeah, they're going to be planting. So anyway, they'll do that to each other just to see, try to get somebody else out and get them going. Okay. Another thing is corn is an interesting... I told you it was 50 degrees. You don't put it in the ground until it is at least 45 to 50 degrees is what I'm telling you. And one of the reasons why you wait till then is that a lot of corn, sometimes in Indiana and other states, will have a late frost. And a late frost, the neat thing about a corn plant is the heart of the corn plant does not come out of the ground until it's about knee high. So in other words, if it got frosted when it was this tall, it just probably turn brown and fall over. And then right in the center of the stalk would keep on going and it would produce a plant. But when that gets knee high and it gets frosted, the party's over. You have to replant. And then also another thing about corn is at 86 degrees in the summer, it shuts itself off at 86 degrees. It sort of cools out. Just think, if you were out in the sun and it was 86 degrees, you didn't have a hat, you didn't have your lotion, you didn't have long sleeves, well, the corn plant, what it does, the leaves will roll and it'll protect itself. God gave us ability. A lot of the hybrids, not all of them, but a lot of the hybrids will roll and it'll protect itself in the heat of the day. And at night comes, it'll unlock it and cover it, open up to the weather. Okay, we're going to start here with this plant. We're just going to pick one of them up here. This plant here, and I get it to Al and Mike, and this is what they call the root system. This is, I call it the, quote, board of directors. Every plant has its own board of directors. And what does the board of directors do? These roots go out. They detect how much moisture is in the ground. They'll tell the plant how much nitrogen, phosphorus, potash, zinc, all the minerals that are in the soil, it will come back and report to the plant, and it will decide whether it's going to put 1 year, 2 years, or whatever it's going to do. So this is what, and then also to keep it standing, Mike, you kidded me about this yesterday, but these brace roots, this is really a good plant. Look at this thing, it's got the brace roots here, and then because this thing is a little bit taller than normal, I'm not saying anything, careful. Anyway, it's got an extra set of brace roots. And that helps it to stand. And why does it want it to stand? God wants it to stand until the fall, until this ear is dry. Because if you want to upset a farmer, I mean, farmers have notoriously elephant memories. You might have a plant that's knocked over. If there's anything they hate, is going out and picking up with their snoots or their combine, picking a plant up because there's rocks in the field, there's different things that happen in the field that it causes it to, it'll jam up the equipment and have problems. But anyway, the brace roots, this is really a pretty good plant. In fact, all three of these are in the same field. And one of the things, I want to just take a second here. We had this done for us. Come up here. All right, this is a good one. Inside the stalk, there's a thing called pith. P-I-T-H. Pith. And what pith is, it's just like you were building a apartment complex and you're going to run plumbing to each one of the apartments. This thing, this pith, runs plumbing to each one of the leaves, each one of the, everything in the corn plant. It gets its own plumbing from there. And on the outside edge is called the rind, and that there is gives it the strength to stand up in winter and stand up in the fall of the year so that it don't fall over. Okay. And another thing, remember I told you that these corn plants can put as much as, like, I've seen 5 years on a stalk. But usually it's out there all by itself and soaking up the sunlight and soaking up everything. But anyway, the plant itself knows which is year two and which is year one. Because it will literally, if the moisture, the nitrogen, all the minerals are there, that thing will just churn away and produce a ear of corn. But anyway, ability to know which is year one and year two. But its goal that God has gave it to do is it needs to produce a kernel for next year that the corn plant can keep on going. And ear placement. Another thing, Al, I want you to notice about this, these plants are a real nice height, because if you got an ear too high and the wind gets blowing, they'll blow it over and sack it. These were all very nice heights. And then when the plant breeders, they can adjust the ears on them by their breeding processes. One of the things that I want to tell you next is that when you count the kernel rows, I'm talking the rows around, all ears are in multiples of two. There are 16, 14, 18, 20, 22, 24. And what happens when the ear is coming, means this is late in the season, it's hard to get what I needed to get for you. But each kernel, I've got to find my straws. During the season, when this thing is trudging along, growing, you'll see little light green. These here were real light green at the beginning. And they're nothing more than a straw is all they are. When the plant up on top, that's the male, drops its pollen, there's approximately 640 to 800 kernels per ear. Okay? And the tassel in the top has anywhere from 2 to 25 million pollen per plant to get the 640 to 800 kernels. God gave it every chance in the world to fill out. But here's what the thing is. When the pollen drops, and it always does it in the morning hours, that's like a little sack, a little teeny sack. It just, and that little, if you had a dot of a pencil and you just put it on a paper, that would be represent probably 6 or 8. But that is real small. But anyway, that pollen will drop from the top, land on the silt or the straw, however you want to put it. It'll hit the straw and go down. It takes about 24 hours from the time it travels down. And the first third of the year, the silts come out first, and then the middle third come next, and then the last third come last. But it takes about 10 days to 2 weeks to get an ear completely pollinated. But anyway, it's got, like I said, 2 to 25 million pollen per plant to do that. So God gave it every chance in the world to do its thing. And how many do you have any idea about how many kernels it takes to make a bushel of corn? Anybody any ideas? It takes 90,000 kernels to make a bushel of corn. Okay? And also, this is crazy, but it works. Every 16th of an inch, I guess over the 30-some years I worked in it, I got in my mind and my eyesight, I picked up what was an average kernel, but anytime I would see a little bit longer one, every 16th of an inch of extra adds 15 bushel to the acre. It'll work. So in other words, what I'm telling you, it takes approximately 100, depending on the kernel depth, it takes 110 to 140 kernels to make a bushel of corn. And there's different on the leaves on the plant. You're looking at, there's narrow leaves, different varieties, wide leaves. And the leaves are nothing more than, remember the days when we were younger and we had television and the antenna, big antennas that hanging up over your house? Well, they're nothing more than antennas to collect daylight and turn that daylight into energy to feed the plant. And then as the plant matures, as it matures, these husks, there's like 5 to 7 around on this thing, but these husks will turn round. And usually, driving down the road, this is something a lot of farmers don't know, that you can look at a husk on a corn, and pretty much there's a thing called black layer. And that's a, let me show you here. I got a picture of it. If this was a kernel of corn, which I'm not a good artist, but when a kernel of corn matures and the milk line gets down to the bottom, it turns a little black area, and that's called black layer. And that tells you it's right at 32 to 35%. And it takes the time from it up here to down here, it takes about 4 weeks, depending on the heat and the units going on, to get down to that point. And they usually, when you harvest corn and take it to the elevator, you're looking, you want to get that 28 to 30%. You want to get that down to like 15 to 15.5% moisture. Because that, otherwise, if you went, took a load of corn in at 17% or 18%, they'll dock it, costing yield. Or costing money, I guess you could. And, but, and one of the things they usually do is, farmers are planting nowadays pretty much 32 to 34,000 kernels per acre. So in other words, a bag of seed corn that you would buy today, when I started the business back in 32 years ago, corn would be like $59 a bag. Today, corn is somewhere between $375 to $400 for the same size bag. So their costs have gone up just like everything else has gone up. And kernels of corn, they come in rounds and flats. And needless to say, the rounds are, here, let me just show you. The rounds would come out here on the end of the ear, and in the middle would be the flats, and then the rounds on the other end. And there are guys that only like flats, and there's guys that only like rounds. And then you got to work with people on that. And there's one thing, I think I'm just about done here to you, but there's one thing in the seed world that happens, and that's abortion. If you got a... I'm talking abortion is a place where that had been pollinated, and due to lack of moisture, micronutrients, not getting, it's like sitting down to a table to eat and there wasn't enough food to go around. It will just shut off. And each ring around the cob, this is easily figured, each ring around the cob that you got corn, it costs the farmer 5 bushels the acre. That's very, it's 4 to 6 bushels, and I use 5 as a number. But it, this one here, you can see, I'll just pass it around for you. But you can see the end of it, where there's, they were pollinated, and then they shut off. Hey, I'm going to stop there, but I just wanted to share with you a little bit about the corn plant. It's sort of a neat little character.